This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parsha Shemini. So it's very interesting how the very opening medrash in this week's Parsha really addresses what's going on in the Jewish world. Of course, we are all aware of the very sad passing of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. We all saw, no doubt, images of the Leviah last Sunday. And I just want to highlight a medrash at the very beginning of the parasha, and then I think appropriately we'll mention an idea of his in his beautiful Sefer Time of Dekra. We'll mention an idea of his on this week's parasha. But let's just begin with a very interesting medrash. The pasuk says in the start of Parsha Shemini, "Vayihi bayom hashmini kora Moshe la'aron levolav ulezikne Yisrael." The pasuk says on the eighth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kora Moshe la'aron. Moshe Rabbeinu called Aaron, Ulevonov and his sons, ulezikne Yisrael. Now the question is, what are the Ziknei Yisrael doing there? Because later the pasuk says, "Vel b'nei Yisrael to daber lemois." It says Rashi, "Ulezikne Yisrael." What were they there for? Lashmiam shapiad dibur Aaron nichnasu nichnas. Sorry, the Aaron went in. Al piad dibur, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go in. Umeshamish b'kuna gadoila, and he officiated because Hashem said so. Below yom remei lov nichnas. Not that he chose to do it, and he was looking for his own honor or glory. What prompts Rashi to say that? So the Sifrei Chachamim says, because the words Ulezikne Yisrael are redundant in the pasuk. Says the Sifrei Chachamim, Dekoshla Rashi, Lama kro Zikne Yisrael, why does it say those words? Ein lo masherot ledaber lohen sheyem liYisrael lahakriv karbon. It can't be that you have to tell Aaron to tell the Bnei Yisrael to bring this karbon. So ksiv Aaron, the ksiv achrom, it says afterwards, Vel Bnei Yisrael to daber lemai. It says that later. So what did the word Zikne Yisrael doing? Therefore, Rashi explains that he's not doing it for his own honor, rather, Alpi HaDibur Nichnas is doing it on the instruction of Hashem. The Medrash, however, gives a different explanation. The Medrash says, this is in Vayikra Rabbi Parash Yudal of Simen Ches, Omer Rebbe Kiva, Nimshalu Yisrael La'oif. The Jewish people are compared to a bird. Maha'oif Hazeh Einoi Pereach B'loi Knofayim, just as a bird cannot fly without wings. Kach Yisrael in Yecholim Lasis Dovor Chutz Mizikneim. So too, the Jewish people, they can't achieve anything without their Zakenim, without their leaders and their elders. What an appropriate medrash to begin this week's parasha, the first Shabbos, with a world without Reb Chaim Kanievsky. One of the the Zakenim of our times. I want to just mention just a couple of things. This is not a hesped, but I just, before we look at some of his Torah and his ideas on this parasha, I just want to mention one thing. Well, he's, of course, well known for his total dedication to Limud HaTorah, his Kedusha, his Tzidkus. Here in London, I have the privilege of teaching together with Rabbi Hartman here in London, and he tells a fabulous story that I think is quite well known, but it's worth repeating. And an amazing story. Rabbi Hartman, of course, writes, you know, he edits the works of the Maharal. He's up to Baruch Hashem, I think his 40th Sefer now. And many, many years ago, he was working through the Sfarim of the Maharal, editing and writing his footnotes. And he comes across a statement of the Maharal, which says that Tchias HaMesim will begin at Ma'aras HaMachpela K'mavua B'Chazal, like Chazal tell us. So Rabbi Hartman's job as the editor of these works is to find where Chazal say this. And he searches high and low, he can't find it anywhere. He looks on his computer and his Bar Ilan, his DBS, his Eitzah Chochma, he can't find it. He even contacts a Talmud Chochma who lives in Hebron, who is an expert on all the Mamori Chazal of Maaris HaMachpela. It's everything to do with Hebron and Maaris HaMachpela. And he says to him, listen, Maral says that Tchias HaMesim is going to begin at Maaris HaMachpela, k'mavua b'chazal, as Chazal say. Where did Chazal say this? The fellow says, wow, I didn't know he said that. Let me look into it. And he comes back a few days later. He says, no, I can't find it, sorry. And so Reb Hartman had to write the notes saying, you know, any day I don't know where the Maharal got this from, where Chazal say this. Okay. Sometime later, Reb Hartman was walking in Bnei Brak, and a miracle occurs. The miracle was that he comes across Reb Chaim Kanievsky on his own. We're used to all the images where people are, you know, are thronging around him, swarms of people. and like the paparazzi. But years ago, it was easier to access. I remember going when I was in yeshiva still, and going to him, and I'm walking in there, and it was just him and his Rebbetzin. It was Erev Shabbos. I remember going in there. It was easier to access than in the later years. Anyway, he sees Reb Chaim Kanievsky walking the streets of Bnei Brak, and he says, Rebbe, can I ask the Rav a question? Yeah, okay. So he says that the Maharal writes that Tchias HaMesim is going to originate in Maaris HaMachpela, K'mavua b'chazal, like Chazal say. Where did Chazal say this? So Reb Chaim says, ooh, the Maharal says that. Yeah. So he starts thinking, he walks a few steps, and he looks at Rahman, and he says, Talmud Bavli is Nishta. It's not in the entire Gemara, in the entire Talmud Bavli. Takes a couple more steps, closes his eyes. Talmud Yerushalmi is Nishta. It's not in the entire Talmud Yerushalmi. As he's walking, going through, he carries on walking a couple more steps, closing his eyes, thinking, and then he says to Rahman, he says, in Medrash is Nishta. It's not there either. A couple more steps. In Zoya, Nishta, not there either. And then he carries on a couple of steps. Tikune Zoya. Ooh, there's a Mashmois in Perek Vav of Tikune Zoya. I think it was Perek Vav. Faster than a computer. His mastery of time. Taka Rav Hartman looked it up, and there was indeed a Mashmois of exactly that comment there. The mastery of Torah, we've all seen, heard stories in Meiselach and what Reb Chaim went through, his daily quota, and what he was assigned every year. It's beyond description. But I just want to just say one more comment. Aside from all the stories, and there are thousands of stories, and there's all the stories we don't know about. But I just want to make one final comment. We met many years ago in school, we had a Rosh Kollel who came from Eretz Yisrael. He was Rosh Kollel in Bnei Brak. I remember he spoke to the boys, these boys 16, 17, 18 years old. And he said that my claim to fame, said this Rosh Kollel from Bnei Brak, is not that I'm a Rosh Kollel in Bnei Brak. Clearly a huge Talmud Chacham. My claim to fame is that I was in Cheder the Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That's what he said. It's going back many years. So he said, I want to tell you boys something. The Reb Chaim's success and his godless is not in that he's got the best brain, he's got the best this or that. Maybe he does. Maybe he's got a photographic memory. Maybe he's a big Elui. But his greatest character trait is his hasmoda. He's so diligent and he's so conscientious when it comes to limud haTorah. That's what makes him different to everybody else. And that was the message he gave the boys. And when I spoke in school last Sunday to the school, Baruch Hashem, hundreds and hundreds of boys. But the message is, the stories are very nice. I could tell the stories. But more important is, what's the relatable take home for the boys? The success in Torah is through diligence and perseverance and tenacity and dedication. That's really what creates greatness. Stories are wonderful. They're very entertaining. But the message is the tenacity and the dedication and the hasmoda. Let's just take a look at one idea of a plan before we move on. The parasha tells us of the death of Nadav and Avihu. So in his body, he's got many svarim, Reb Chaim, and one of the svarim we've quoted many times in this forum is Talmud Dekra, where he goes through Chumash and he's got a different way of looking at things. He picks up points and his encyclopedic knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's amazing how he pulls things together. So let's take a look at paragraph 2 if you've got it in front of you. This is, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The pasuk says, "Vayikchu bnei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtosa v'yidnu bo'en eish Nadav and Avihu take the fire v'yosimu aleha kutoris v'akrivu lifnei Hashem eish zora." They bring this strange foreign fire. Hashem lo tziva osom that they weren't commanded to do. V'tete eish milifnei Hashem v'toichal osom v'yimus lifnei Hashem, and fire comes out and it kills them. By Yom Moshe Aaron, who Asher Dibar Hashem, etc. Pasuk Dalet. By Yikra Moshe Mishael and El Tzofon. Moshe Rabbeinu calls Mishael and El Tzofon, Bnei Uziel, the sons of Uziel, Doid Aaron, who was the uncle of Aaron, he was the brother of Amram. By Yom Aleihem Kiru Sues Achechem Eitz Pnei Hakodesh Al Mechutz LaMachaneh. Take out the Mesim, Nodav and Avihu. Says Reb Chaim. Time of the Krah. This is the next box in paragraph 2. By Yikra Moshe Mishael v'El Tzofon Bnei Uziel Doid Aaron, says Reb Chaim, Rabbi Shel Aaron. What does he mean, the uncle of Aaron? He was also the Rebbe Uziel was the brother of Amram. Amram was Aaron HaKohen, Moshe and Aaron and Miriam's father's brother. He was one of four brothers. He was not only the uncle of Aaron, but he was his Rebbe, Rabbi Shel Aaron. Kach Kosov Berekeach Esther, Doit Mordechai B'Shem Mordechai. So it's quoting this source, which says, in the name of the Medrash, that he was the Rebbe of Aaron HaKohen. V'yesh L'ayin, asked Reb Chaim, Loma Kosvosoi Torah Kam, why does the Torah tell me this genealogy over here? The Mekoimai, the Parshas Vayera, Gabi Yichus B'nei Levi. Surely the place for it is in Parshas Vayera, where we talk about the Yichus, the genealogy of Shevet Levi. Why is it telling me this story here? The Yesh Lomar says Ruchaim, the Apostle Bo Litein Tam, Lomar Kora Dafka Mishal Vel Sofer. Because the Torah is giving an explanation why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically called Mishael and El Tzofen. Hari Hoyu Lo Harbi Yosef Krovin. There were people who were more closely related. The Yispoel Pi Yerushalmi. We can explain by reference to the Yerushalmi and Brachas Peret Beis Halachaches. Kedamach Reb Chiya Ba'ada. When Reb Chiya Ba'ada died, Dor Achdeim Debar Kapora Kabel Rish Lokish Alei Tanchumim. Rish Lokish was Mekabel Tanchumim. He was sort of accepted of the Nechoma, he was maybe Sat Shiva, whatever it was, to have a rabbi, name of Talmud the Baranosa, Chovvale Kabrei. Because when a Talmud passes away, it's like losing a child. And therefore, Mavuah, the Shaykh Avelus, it's appropriate to display Avelus on the death of a Talmud. Says Reb Chaim, the Kivin the Aaron, who had Talmud of Uziel, since Aaron was the Talmud of Uziel, so Uziel wasn't able to be involved, he was also in the form of Avelus. In Cain, Kishemesu b'nei Aaron, Shaykh al Uziel Avelus, v'lochein b'kesh debonam sheyitap lebohen. So therefore, Uziel was unable to help out. He therefore called the sons of Uziel to help out. And that explains everything. That explains why the Pasuk says, v'vayikra Moshe al Mishav v'el tzofen b'nei Uziel doid Aaron. Doid Aaron also means the Rebbe of Aaron. And therefore, he couldn't get Uziel to help out. He had to get the sons to help out. But this is just an example of Reb Chaim's tremendous mastery of Kola Torah Kula, being familiar with this quite esoteric medrash, connecting it to a Yerushalmi in Brachas, and then putting it all together. This is a classic Reb Chaim. No, Mitz Hashem, we should have Nechama, and these Divrei Torah should be in Neshama for him. Let's move on. I want to stick with the topic of the death of the sons of Aaron HaKohen. Let's look at paragraph 3. So, an interesting question. The Medrash says, we've read the Pesukim already, if you turn over the page, the Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Perek Chaf on Halacha Hey in Medrash Rabbah, in Vayik Rabbah, the Pesuk in Eov says, Af l'zois yecher ad libi. The Pesuk says that Eov trembled when he heard about the death of Aaron HaKohen's sons. When he heard, Bono shel Aaron nichnasu l'hakri v'yotsu srufim, hadol d'chsiv achri mosash shnei b'nei Aaron. So when it says in the Pasuk in Eov, Af l'zois yecher ad libi, it's referring to him hearing the news of the death of the sons of Aaron HaKohen, which of course begs the question, why did Eov tremble upon hearing the death of Nadav and Avihu? What's one got to do with the other? That's the first question. Now, let's move on. Paro's three advisors, the Gemara in Sota, famous Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, tells us, Omer Reb Chiya, on the second box in paragraph 3b, Omer Reb Chiya Ba'abo, Omer Reb Simoi, Shlosha Hoyu Ba'isva Eitza. There were three people involved as advisors to Paro. Bilam, Ve'Iyov, Ve'Yisro. Well-known Gemara. Bilam, Iyov, and Yisro were all advisors to Paro. Bilam, She'yo'atz, Bilam, who gave advice to kill the Jewish boys. Neherak, his punishment was that he was killed. Iyov, She'shosak, Iyov remained silent. Nidoin, Be'Yisurin, he was punished by terrible afflictions. Yisro Sheborach, and Yisro ran away because he couldn't be a party to this terrible injustice, this horrible crime of genocide of the Jewish people. Therefore, he ran away in protest. His children, his descendants, would merit greatness in the Jewish people. Fine, that's the end of the well-known Gemara in Sota. Three advisors to Paro, Bilam, Iyov, and Yisro. Bilam was punished by death for advocating and for advising genocide. Eov kept silent and was punished with Yisurin. And Yisro, he protested and ran away, and his children achieved greatness. Well known in Gemara. Now, another question. We know that that Rashi tells us that what did Nadav and Avihu do wrong? Now, there are lots of different things that Chazal say. Rashi on the Pasuk tells us, he brings two opinions. Rashi says in box C, Rabbi Eliezer Omer le'meisu b'nei Aaron el'alei deshe hoiru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabba. They were moira halacha. It's an issa, you're not allowed to be moira halacha b'fnei Rebbe. That's a problem. Well, I'm not going to go into it now, but with Masaira, etc., whatever it may be. And Rabbi Shmuel Omer shesuya yayin nichnasu l'mikdash. They were shesuya yayin, they were drunk. They had drunk. And then when they went into the Mikdash, they're not allowed to. And that's those are the two opinions that Rashi brings. There is another opinion. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafnun, based on the Bible, says, V'kvaho yumeshev Aaron mahalchim b'derech. One time, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were walking. V'nodov v'avihu mahalchim achareihem. The Nodov and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron HaKohen, the two elder sons of Aaron HaKohen, were walking behind Moshe and Aaron. V'chol Yisrael achareihem. And all the Jewish people, this massive entourage, were walking behind them. Omer lo Nodov l'Avihu. Emosai yomusu shnei zakenim halolu. Said Nodov to Avihu, when will these two elders, Moshe and Aaron, die? Va'ani va'ato nanhig es hador, and you and I, Nodov and Avihu, we will lead the generation. Amen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Hanira mi koi veresmi, we will see who will bury who. In other words, Nodov and Avihu will actually predecease Moshe and Aaron, and they will have to oversee their burial. The question is, according to this Gemara, I understand, according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Bishmal, the two opinions that Rashi brings, I understand why Nodov and Avihu were punished, either because Shahur Halacha B'fnei Moshe Rabban, both of them issued psakim halachic rulings in front of Moshe, that's not allowed, or they entered the Mikdash Shesuya Yayin, having drunk some wine. But according to this Gemara in Sanhedrin, when Nodov says to Avihu, when will these two elders die? Vani v'ato, you and I, Nodov says to Avihu, will lead the generation. I understand why Nodov was punished, but why Avihu? What did he do wrong? He didn't say anything. So we've got two questions. Question number one, what's pshat in the Medrash after Lezos, Yo'echer ad Libi? Why did Eoiv tremble when he heard the death of Nodav and Avihu? And number two, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, why was Avihu punished? He merely, it was Nodav who did the speaking. So I once heard some time ago from my dear friend, Rabbi Barry Lera, a beautiful explanation of these two questions. The answer is this. The Chazal are telling us that when a person hears something which is inappropriate, he can't just ignore it. He's got to call it out. He's got to protest against the injustice. Nodov says something which is wrong. Mosai says something. Mosai musu shnei zakenim halolu. So Avihu can't just listen. And if you do listen and you don't protest against it, then you're guilty by association. You're aiding and abetting. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Nodov says something and he sees that Avihu doesn't protest it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hanira mi koi veres mi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them both. And that's why Eov trembled. Because when Eov realized, when he heard about the news of Nodav and Avihu, he understood why Nodav was punished, but what about Avihu? He then realized, because he was silent, silence also means that you're guilty by association, and therefore you're going to have to be punished. That's why he trembled. Because Eov was one of the three advisors of Paro, and his response was silence. He didn't stand up against that injustice. He didn't call it out. And that's why Eov trembled. Tell you an interesting thing. There's this again. Rabbi Lera mentioned this to me. The following amazing anecdote: there's a professor of law at Yale University. His name is Stephen Carter. Professor Carter is black, and he describes moving to a new, until then all-white neighborhood in Washington D.C. This is going back many decades. This is what he writes. My two brothers and two sisters and I sat on the front steps missing our playmates as the movers carried in our furniture. Cars passed what was now our new house, slowing for a look, as did people on foot. We waited for somebody to say hello, to welcome us. Nobody did. I watched the strange new people passing us and wordlessly watching back. and I knew we were not welcome here. I knew we would not be liked here. I knew we would have no friends here. I knew we would not have we should not have moved here. I knew. And all at once, a white woman arriving home from work at the house across the street from ours turned and smiled with obvious delight and waved and called out, "Welcome," in a booming, confident voice that I would come to love. She bustled into her house only to emerge minutes later with a huge tray of cream cheese and jam sandwiches, which she carried to our porch and offered around with her ready smile, simultaneously feeding and greeting the children of a family she had never met, and a black family at that, with nothing to gain for herself. We were strangers, black strangers, and she went out of her way to make us feel welcome. The woman's name was Sarah Kestenbaum. So it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But sometimes we see injustice in the world, but it's incumbent upon us to shout it out. Sarah Kestenbaum did this by ignoring the prejudice of the day and acting with kindness and with warmth. So that explains the two questions we have. Eov trembled when he heard about the death of Nadab and Abihu, because he understood that silence is considered guilty, is you're culpable for just not protesting, not shouting it out. And that's why Avihu was punished according to the opinion of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay, let's move on to one final idea. Very interesting Das Sakenim, again, related to the parasha of the death and the sons of Aaron HaKohen. Very interesting Das Sakenim. Let's take a look at paragraph 4, the last paragraph on the sheet. The Pasuk says, Vayikra Moshe Mishal Be'al Tzofen B'nei Uziel Doid Aaron. Okay. So he said to Mishael and Tzofen, take out the bodies from the Kodesh, Mechutz L'machaneh. Says the Das Sakenim, Vayikra Moshe al Mishael. Itzma b'Toras Kohanim, it is learned in Toras Kohanim, Mikan, you see from our Pasuk, She'en ha-Kohanim metamei l'meisin, that Kohanim are not metamei l'meisin. They should not become tamei for dead people. Why? Shahari Elozov itoma lo nitzmu l'Hashem, because they got Mishael and Tzofen to take out the dead bodies and not the remaining brothers, Elozov and Itoma. Says the Das Sakenim, Mibali Atosus, two questions. Question number one, the Tema. Shahari b'mokum acher motzeinu b'feirish shakanim mishar matumas neis tichsiv l'nefesh v'itama ba'amov. The Pasuk says in the Furish, elsewhere, that Kohanim are muzhar on Tumas Meis from the Pasuk of Renefesh lo yitama ba'amov. So how can the Gemara say, how can the Toras Kohanim say that the source is our Pasuk? Mikan she'en ha-Kohanim metamein le-meisin, because Elozo and Isoma could not become Tomi, lo yitzmu, but it was Mishael and Tzofen. That's not the source. You've got a clear Pasuk in the Torah, lo nefesh lo yitama ba'amov. So what does the Toras Kohanim mean by marshalling a Pasuk from our Sedra? Question number one. Question number two. V'oid Elozo v'Isomar Kohanim hejoytus hoyu. They weren't Kohanim gedolim. They're regular Kohanim. V'loma lo nitzmu l'acheihem. We know the halacha is that a regular Kohen can be metame, must be metame, and can be metame for one of the seven krovim. So halacha today, if you have Rachman and son of Mace, and is from a family of Kohanim, whether it's a mother, father, spouse, or his wife, in other words, brother, sister, son or daughter, the Kohen should be metame. So why, in fact, why weren't they metame for their brothers? So two questions. Why does the Toras Kohanim say that Mikan, She'en Kohanim metame l'meisin, because from this week's parasha, there's a pasuk which says in Mefurish, the source surely is l'nefesh l'yitama ba'amov. And second of all, why, in fact, where laws of Isomar, Kohanim hejoytus, they should have been metame l'meis. What does it mean that they were l'nefesh? What does it mean? Lo nitzmu l'Hashem. So he gives a very interesting answer. Says the Das Sakenim. V'yesh le'imah. Bottom paragraph. Tohod ka'oma mikan she'akonim metame l'meisin, haynu kohanim hedyoitin. When it says mikan she'ein metame l'meisin, kohanim ka'omim metame l'meisin, that's regular kohanim, but yoyim moshchosam on the day where they're appointed. Then she'ein metamim lekrovim, they cannot become tomei. She'yesh lohem din kohanim gedolim, because they've got the din of kohanim gedolim. On the day that a kohen, a regular kohen, is inaugurated and becomes a kohen and brings his minchas chavitin, etc., which by the way is the same mincha that the kohen gadol brings every day, he has the status of a kohen gadol, and therefore That's why they couldn't be metame. That's why the same part. This is what the Bechor Sher says. The afagav to kohanim and jeitus leivusruat al priya. Even the regular kohanim are not mitzuvah on priya frima of letting the hair grow long and tearing their clothes, etc. To metame in hein lekrovin. Regular kohanim should be metame and therefore should let their hair grow long, etc. But yom moshchosam on the day of their inauguration. That day is different. And we know a Kohen Gadol is not Metame. And therefore, since this day took place on the day of the inauguration of Nadav and Avihu as Kohanim, they have the status of Kohanim Gadolim, and therefore there's a different rule. And therefore, Lo Nitmul Hashem. And therefore, the Torah's Kohanim is exactly right. It's bang on. It's saying, that's talking about Kohanim, the Kohanim Hedyoto, it's regular Kohanim, on the day they're inaugurated, because on that day they have a din v'kohen gadol, and therefore the pasuk which says the nefesh lo yitama ba'amov, that's not addressing this quest, this particular case, and therefore that's why the Torah's Kohanim mentions this pasuk, and therefore and the second question was, surely they should have been matam in the mace because they're one of the seven close relatives. Yes, that's a regular kohen hedjet. But on this occasion, they had the status of a Kohen Gadol, and therefore they're lo nitzmul Hashem. They were not, did not become Tamil Hashem. So just to summarize the 4 points that we've mentioned. Number one, how sadly appropriate is that the Medrash, the very beginning of the parasha, the very first pasuk, Zikne Yisrael, what's it doing there? Rashi gives one pshat, but the Medrash says that Klal Yisrael are compared to an oif, just as an oif Eina Perech, but a Knafan cannot fly without its wings. So too, Klal Yisrael, we're limited without our Zakenim. And what a loss it was to lose the great Shabchan Kanievsky less than a week ago. The Levaya was only on Sunday. And then that beautiful idea that he says, that Reb Chaim says, explaining, putting together the Yerushalmi, this Medrash, explaining the Medrash, why Doid Aaron means Rabish and Aaron, and explaining why Dafka was Mishon Velatsofen and not Uziel, because Uziel was the Rebbe of Aaron, and therefore he's got a din of Avelis. When his Talmud is an Avelis, he also is an Avelis, and therefore he was unable to help out, to take the Mesim out, and they had to get the sons of Uziel, Mishon and Tzofen, to do so. Then we discussed these two questions. Why? What does the Medrash mean that Eov trembled upon hearing the death of Nadav and Avihu, and what does that mean? And second of all, why was Avihu punished, according to the Gemara Sanhedrin? Nadav was the one who spoke inappropriately. The Teretz is, being silent, not calling out injustice, not standing up to something which is inappropriate, you are guilty by association. You've got to shout out injustice. And Eov, when he heard that Avihu was punished for being silent and not protesting, that's why he trembled, because he was guilty of the same crime. And lastly, that very beautiful Das Kenyan, Bali Atos, was explaining that on the day of the inauguration of being a Kohen, that Nadav and Avihu had the status of Kohanim Gedolim, which explains why the Torah's Kohanim mentions this source, not the source of the Nefesh, but Tamar Ba'amov, etc., etc. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining, and I wish you a good week.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.